Good? Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Hey, it must be my wife's coffee. Y'all, great. Great this morning. Man, whew, what a good Sunday. So before I get started, I just wanted to introduce myself. My name is Scott Woodard. I'm an elder here at Grace Bible Church. I am so thankful that, you know, Pastor was able to ask me to give the word this morning. But as anybody that knows me well, I go through things when I'm called to do the word. God tends to put things into my life so that way I'm learning, like, literally what God has for me. And I'm just going to say, this last few weeks have just been, things have just fallen apart. And
God's working.
I am overwhelmed. Amen. By my church family of stepping up in support and what really just filled the cup and overflowed the cup is my wife coming up here and starting a ministry and all these ministries happening, but my kids are in the front row of, and it's just amazing. It's overwhelming. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you. With that, we're going to be going right to Matthew 13 this morning, and we're going to be talking about the parable of the sower. I was reading through Matthew. I kind of diverted from our yearly Bible plan to kind of focus on Matthew, and God literally took his finger and said, "Nope, stop right here. This is what I want you to say." And after I started looking at it and looking at what God had for me and then talking to Pastor about it, he's like, "No, that lines right up with the We Are the Church series." So it was just amazing what God had for me in Matthew 13. So with that, with me saying that, let's go ahead and pray. Let's pray for our service this morning. Dear God, I want to come to you right now and just say thank you, praise you for your son, Jesus, for the cross, for the blood that he shed, for rising again, dear Jesus. We have nothing if we don't have that. And Jesus, just help us as a church to be able to come together and be able to share the gospel with other people, Lord. And I just want to pray right now, just a blessing on everybody here, that God, you'll be with them, that your presence will be here, Lord God, that you'll have protection over us, that the devil will not be able to have a foothold in here. And Lord, I just pray, God, that you will humble me. And let these words be your words, dear God. Not my words, but your words, Jesus. And God, I pray that anybody hearing my voice, that if they don't know the saving grace of what you've given us, dear God, that they'll come to you, that they'll come and you'll prick their heart, and they will come to know you and know that salvation. God, they will ask questions. They will know. They will know that you are King and that you are our Savior, but also that you are our friend, that this is a relationship. This is more than just religion. This is a relationship. And God, I just thank you again, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as I said, going through chapter 13, I'm going to tell you something. If you ever want to just have your life changed, just do a study on Matthew 13, because there's so much context in there. There's so much just great things. He's going through these parables, and what's amazing is he starts out with the parable of the sower, but if you read through them and you're reading through chapter 13, and he's talking about the parable of the weeds, the mustard seed, and the leaven, you know, all these different things, they all still line up to that gospel seed that he's telling these people about in Galilee. It's all lining up. And it's just amazing. So our big idea this morning is that we are called to plant the seed of the gospel. That's our main mission. That's our main calling, is to spread the seed of the gospel. And Jesus will give the increase. Not us, not by the things that we do. That's all just sprinkles on the cake, right? That's just icing. Jesus will give the increase. So, let's go ahead and dive into Matthew 13 here. And I did put this in there because in my message, we are the sowers of Jesus is the sower, but he uses us to sow that seed. And it lines right up with our mission statement, helping everyone take their next steps towards Jesus Christ together. Because we are to plant the seed, but we're also there to help it grow and help it cultivate. So Matthew 13, 1 through 3, it says this. That same day, Jesus went out of his house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. So first, I really want to break this down. I want to paint this picture, right, of what's going on in Galilee. So Jesus went out, he comes out of this house, he goes by the seaside, and a great crowd was gathered. He rose, got into a boat, and sat down. So what does that tell us? First, Jesus was in the Sea of Galilee on a boat preaching to a bunch of farmers. So do you see how perfect that is, that the sower of the seed, how perfect that is, that Jesus is out there talking to a bunch of farmers? Not the elites. These weren't elites, right? These weren't the Pharisees. Jesus had a whole nother message for them, right? But they were he was preaching to just working people like us, right? Like us. Because he knew the hearts there. He knew that he had to sow that seed so that people would listen. And he actually goes into it, if we go a few chapters forward, and go to Matthew 16 in 26, he says this, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? God gave me that this morning, because I was thinking about that, because these farmers, these working men, they didn't have a lot, just like we don't have a lot. But we're able to listen, we're able to understand. And I want you to notice, too, that, you know, Jesus did not have to wait until Sunday morning or until he was in a synagogue or in a church to give this message. Guys, we don't have to wait until Sunday morning to give the message of the gospel. You can do it at work. You can do it at a park. You can do it in your family. A lot of times, our family's falling apart while we're going forward. Don't forget about them. They need the gospel, too. Trust me, my family's the same way. I have to kind of be that living representation so they can see. Jesus was also, he was prepared and already knew the minds and hearts of the crowd. So with that, we're going to go ahead and read right through the rest of Matthew 13 here. And I think I got slides. I do. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of the soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell on thorny ground, among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And this is important. He says, he who has ears, let him hear. So why is that important? Because Jesus is sowing the seed, but not everyone's going to understand what's going on. The disciples actually said, if we read further, in verse 10, he says, then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? I mean, the disciples were like, what's going on here? And he answered them and said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not been given. So we got to remember, if we're saved and born again, if we're following Jesus, Jesus is giving us the secrets of heaven. God forbid we put that under a bushel, right? You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little line. Yeah, right? God forbid we hide that under a bushel. Our faith should be seen and shown and spoken about. A sincere faith, a genuine faith, is unstoppable. Unstoppable. I mean, there's so many of you in this room that I know, and I know what you've gone through, and just, it was unstoppable. Unstoppable faith. So, he really sums this up in verse 16. And apologies, there is so much in Matthew. There's so much to hear and see. So if we go into Matthew 13, verse 16, he says, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say unto you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, and did not see it, and hear what you hear, but did not hear it." So he's explaining to the disciples, there's going to be a lot of people that aren't going to understand what the gospel means. And that's when he starts getting into the soil. He starts explaining the parable of the sower and what it actually means. So why did Christ teach in parables? Well, Christ taught in parables for a purpose. So the things of God that were made plain and easy were willing to be taught, and at the same time more complex and obscure to those who are willingly ignorant to that teaching. And the parable of the sower is easy, right? The seed that he's talking about is the word of God. The sower is Jesus Christ, either by himself or the preaching of the word. And sharing the gospel is sowing the seed. See, here's the thing. When you're up here giving the gospel, or you're in your personal life and you're sharing the gospel with someone, as the sower, we don't know what that soil, the soil that seed is falling on, nor should we know. Our job is to not stop sowing. Our job is don't stop. Just keep sowing the word, because Jesus is going to, he's going to bring them to him. He's going to bring you the right people. So I really wanted to talk about that. So I want to talk about the traits of the sower. The traits of the sower. And this definition really hit me hard. I did some research, and I this one really hit me in my heart. And it says, someone who causes something to begin somewhere so that it will grow and continue to grow. I think that really sums up what we're, you know, trying to do here at Grace Bible. You know, we're trying to introduce people to the gospel. That's the first step, right? We're trying to disciple them, you know, so they know that they should get baptized publicly, you know, to proclaim that gospel, that I am saved, born again. And then what's the next step look like? And what's the next step look like? You know, that's what we're trying to do here. We're not trying to build up something that will just burn away, right? We're trying to build the kingdom here. We're trying to build what God has for us. Not me, not Pastor Tim, not any of the elders. We're trying to build up Jesus here. So the traits of the sower. And I promise, like I said, there's a lot of context. But I promised John that I would be done before the Lions play tonight. So, yeah. So, it might even be earlier than that. I don't know. We'll see. But anyways, so one other thing I wanted to throw in there of why Jesus spoke in parables, and I almost forgot this, and I almost forgot it again, was Jesus spoke in parables because it was prophesied. It was prophesied. It actually tells us that in Matthew 13, 13:14, where it says, "Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand it with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them." I just wanted to share that. I didn't want to leave that out because it's very important. Jesus fulfilled so many prophetic prophecy in the Bible, so much. And it's one of the staples in my faith is knowing that, you know, this was prophesied so long ago, and it's coming true, and it came true with the life of Jesus. Amen. Whew, so good. So, traits of the sower. So first, a sower walks a path. So, as we have our sowing bag, right, and we have the seed of the gospel, and we're going and we're sowing, we're telling people about the gospel, we don't deviate from the path. A good farmer knows that. You have your rows that you're going to plant your corn in, right? You're not going to go diagonally and mess up all your lines, right? I mean, if you mow the lawn, I mean, you don't mess up your lines, right? But what I'm trying to say is walking a path, and he's staying on the path, which leads me into my second one. A sower does not deviate from the path. Guys, this is your path. This is your path right here. This tells you exactly how to share the gospel with other people. This tells you BIBLE, right? Basic instructions before leaving earth, right? This tells you so many different things. And that's why I'm so encouraged that my brother Dan gave us this read the Bible in a year, right? Because it's getting people in the Word and getting people reading and understanding and just getting indwelled with that Word, so that way, you know, their lives can be changed. Because that's what we want to see here. We want to see lives changed. We want to see God glorified. So the sower does not deviate from the path, but he's also consistently and abundantly sowing the seed. Consistently and abundantly. He doesn't stop sowing until he's done with his work, right? Well, guess what? You're saved, born-again Christians. You're in the ministry. You're never done with your work. Never done. Until you're present with the Lord. So I'm just going to say this. If there's any of you out there that don't think that you have anything to do with this church, or you don't have something to do, come to us. We'll give you something to do, right? We'll give you something to do, because there's lots of ministry work, and the ministry never stops. It continues. Fourthly, the sower has to trust in the seed to grow for the harvest. As we're sowing and we're walking the path, not deviating from the path, we have to trust that seed's going to do what it's going to do. And it's another interesting fact that Jesus gave us was he gave us the example of a seed. And isn't it interesting that he used a seed, which is something that has to die for it to grow? Right? That seed has to literally die for it to grow and sprout. I know someone else like that in the Bible. Someone had to die for us to grow, for us to continue walking with him. And this was one that God really gave me. He said, "The sower is not affected by that soil, but is influenced by the harvest." Amen. So, we're sowing the seed, we're not deviating from the path. You know, we have to put trust in that gospel seed that it will go and it will grow, and God will grow that person, and we'll see miracles and just lives changed. But We're not affected until that person starts bearing fruit. We're not affected by the seed of the gospel because we just keep sharing it. But when they're saved, born again, and then they start utilizing the gifts of the Spirit, right? The patience, the long suffering, the self-control, that sort of thing, and they actually start getting into the ministry and they start working, and we see ministries popping up and happening, and we see Grace Bible going out into the community and helping others. That's fruit. That's fruit that we get to be influenced by. Right? We get to see that and be part of that as a church, as a family. Because I don't think of you guys as just a church. I think of you guys as my family. Thank you, brother. So, let's jump back into Matthew 13. And now we're going to go right to Matthew 13, 18, where Jesus is explaining that parable of the sower, right? So, Matthew 13, 18, he says this: "Hear then the parable of the sower. Anyone who hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, and snatches away what has been shown in his heart. But this is what is sown along the path. As for what is sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet it has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on the account of the word, immediately it falls away. And as for what is sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what is sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, and indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, and in another, 60, and in another, 30. So I just read that whole thing because, I don't want to go that one yet. and I wanted to give an example and kind of explain what Jesus is talking about here. So he's actually going through, yes, he's explaining the seed and the sowing of the seed, but he's also explaining what's happening to that seed and what's happening to that soil and what's being preached. So first he starts with the birds and the birds devouring the seeds. He says, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what has been sown in their heart." So the word is planted, but before it can do work, the flesh, Satan, the evil one, as he calls it, comes and he snatches it away. See, careless hearers are easy prey for Satan. You got to remember that. Anyone who's here and they're careless, they're not prepared to hear the word, Satan's preying on you. See, he is the great thief of sermons and will be sure to rob us of the word if we do not care to keep it. I threw this in there, and I'm just going to shout it out. Anyone that is in a church and you're hearing preaching, good doctrinal Bible preaching from a pastor, but you're so angry and you're so disgruntled that you leave here and you go have fried preacher for dinner, anybody know what that means? Means you're going and you're talking bad about the preacher and just disgruntled and everything. Satan just robbed you of what you needed. You just let Satan rob you of that gift, of what you needed to hear. Then he goes on and he talks about the rocky soil. As for what has been sown on rocky ground, This is one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no root in himself, but endures for a while. When tribulation or persecution arises on the account of the word, he immediately falls away. We see this a lot. And we do. The word is planted, salvation is expressed, but there was no discipleship. They weren't really taught how to let this flourish. And when tribulation begins, they don't know how to handle the situation biblically, so they give up. We see this across America. I tried Christianity. Oh, how dangerous is that for a Christian person to say, you know what, I tried Christianity, and it didn't work. Ooh. I mean, that's scary. That breaks my heart. What happened to you to where you tried Christianity and you said, oh, I don't like this anymore? Man. Because as Christians, I mean, honestly, as Christ followers, we should be some of the most merciful, loving, caring people on this planet. And I'm going to tell you, that's what's going to change our country. That's what's going to change our community. That's what's going to change our nation, is them seeing us and being like, times are so hard. How are you guys flourishing? How are you guys so happy? How do you have joy? Well, because we don't put our faith in those things. We put our faith in him. Right? That's where we put our faith in. And we want to share it with other people. Next, he starts going into the thorny soil. As for what has been sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and deceitfulness of the riches choke out the word, proving unfruitful. The word of God was planted, cultivated, but how was it planted and cultivated? Because with salvation, and I'm just going to say this, with salvation, with coming to accept Christ, there has to be a humbleness. You have to be convicted of the sin, that I am a sinful man, and I can't do anything without Christ. See, I'm just going to give this testimony a little bit. When I came to Christ, I was a selfish, prideful man. I walked all over my lovely wife back there, and she pretty much gave me an alternative. She said, either we need to start going to church, or we're done. I'm taking the kids and leaving. So, that hurt. So we started going to church, and we started hearing good biblical teaching with conviction. And I'm going to tell you what, when I heard that sermon and I realized that my sin was the one that put him up on the cross, that he died for the sin of the whole world, it broke me. It broke me. It hurt. And I just remember this. And I know God gives you things for a reason, but like I remember hearing nails being driven in to his hands and to his feet, just in my mind, just hearing that and knowing that I was the one holding that hammer, and it broke me. I came to know who I was. I was a sinful man who was in need of grace, and we all are in need of grace. But, hallelujah, praise be to God that Christ meets you where you are. Pastor says this all the time. Christ meets you where you are. You just can't stay there. I love it. You just can't stay there. Like, you have to understand that once you're saved, born again, now you have a commission. You have a mission from God to go and spread that gospel to other people. That's how, in Acts, we have 3,000 people added to the church because God gave them a gift and they shared the gospel with everyone and just everyone started pouring in. They're like, yeah, this seems right. If we are called to be a disciple and make disciples, and this goes out to us who are in leadership, or any of you, actually, if we are called to be a disciple of Jesus and make disciples, the soil of this church is essential. It is. See, the church Jesus built was literally a living, breathing representation of the gospel. He is the gospel. And as disciples, we are to minister and take ownership. I love that word. We are to take ownership of believers' spiritual, mental, and physical state. We are to pray over those who are in need. We are to help them. We are to care for them. Not just everyone here, but everyone out there too. That should be one of our main goals. Like Brother Gene gave us a whole list of people to call and check on them. And I loved that. That's exactly what we should be doing as leaders, is reaching out and talking to other people. But not just us as leaders, but you guys as well. You know, we're family. We're a church. We should care for each other. It includes all of us. There is no one that is more significant than the other. Just because I'm an elder doesn't mean anything. It just means that I serve more. It means I'd be more for you guys. It's just a title. I'm still a Christian. I'm still a Christ follower. That's the main thing. We should model after Jesus and be that living representation of the gospel. So, with that, we should be responsible for that soil. Genuine salvation happens when we stand before the cross and we're humbled, broken, and in need of a Savior, like I said with my testimony. But God's people, we need to understand that we come humbly to that cross, not arrogant or prideful. See, with good soil needs to be broken. I thought I had it up here. I guess I don't. Oh well. Good soil needs to be broken. It needs to be broken before God. And we can't forget the cost. See, we have a believer's blessing, right? We now have that great hope that we're always going to stand, we'll be able to stand before God and in the kingdom, in heaven. But we can't forget the cost of those blessings. We can't ever forget what it cost. And I'm just going to tell you this right now, even seasoned Christians, I'm talking to you too, brokenness at the foot of the cross is never a bad thing. Never a bad thing. I have been saved, 12, 13 years, something like that now? My wife knows. She's the schedule keeper. But I'm still broken before the foot of the cross. Because I know God's glory. I know He's King. And I know I'm still in this world. I'm still a sinner. And I still need to repent. And I'm just going to say this. Sometimes the soil needs a bit of fertilizer to help it grow. Sometimes we need some things to happen in our life to kind of help us grow, right? I think Pastor says this. He says, it's great being up on the peak of the mountain. Hallelujah, praising God. But notice this, nothing grows at the peak of the mountain. Everything grows in the valley. In the valley, everything's green and beautiful. We grow in the valley. We grow in those hardships. So, good soil needs to be broken, but also good soil needs to be tended. If we are called to be disciples of the Word of God, It needs to be lived, not just read. The gospel should show in our work and in what we do. We work because we love Jesus. We are to be sharing the good news of the gospel with others. And iron sharpens iron, right? God's word should be made to make us stronger in our faith, not beat people down with it. You know, we can't go to somewhere where they're not willing to listen. We're just beating people over the word. We're how's the Bible say it? We're putting our pearls to the swine, right? But if they come to us, we treat them as God's children. And that just doesn't mean just come to us here at Grace Bible. That means they might come to you outside at work or wherever it might be. Don't be hateful to them. Give them love. Give them mercy. Give them the gospel. Right? So good soil needs to be broken. Good soil also needs to be tended. But get this. Good soil also needs to be watered. Not overwatered, but it needs to be watered. Living the gospel also means that we must care for each other and help each other. This is what makes us different than the world, is we can see past the imperfections and see Jesus. A really good friend of mine, I love him to death, he's my brother, he says it like this: we're not tree inspectors. We're not tree inspectors. We're fruit inspectors, right? And what that means is we see past the outside and we see the fruit. We want to see that plant or that tree, or we want to see that person yield fruit. People need encouragement and words of affirmation from time to time. They do. That's part of watering. But, you see, God gave you a spiritual gift to help others. And this is a challenge for you guys. He gave you that spiritual gift to help others. Find yours and use it. Pastor Noel's a great link that you can use to find your spiritual gift and what it looks like. Find it and use it. Don't sit on it. So with that, with all that I said here, I kind of want to finish with this. This is an ending challenge. So after the parables that Jesus gave to the disciples and the people at Galilee, he traveled to Nazareth. And get this, Nazareth was Jesus' hometown. He's coming into his hometown. And Jesus now spoke in their synagogue, spoke of the kingdom and the truths he did at Galilee. And if you want to turn there with me, it's Matthew 13, and we're getting right into the end of the chapter. And I'm just going to read it for you guys. And when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there, and coming to his hometown, he taught them in the synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where is this man? Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not the mother? Is his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where did this man get all these things?" And yet they took offense to him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown and in his own household." This hits hard. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. This is my challenge to you. Let us never be the Christian, the church, whatever that looks like. Let us never be a place where God will not do mighty works. Ever. I want to see God moving. I want to see God growing and spreading through this community. Guys, they need it. This world needs it. So let's always keep our heart humble. Let's always keep our heart praising Him, giving glory to Him, not to ourselves, but to Him. Let us never be that church where God does not do mighty works. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Let's pray. Father, I come to you, and I want to thank you again for this word. I just want to shout your praise right now that, one, I was able to get through it. Thank you, Jesus. I want to thank you for the worship and just everybody here. Oh, it's such great having church family and such support. Thank you once again just for the cross, for that freedom, that salvation you've given us. And I just want to pray once again, if anybody does not know the saving love of Jesus, please reach out, talk to us, message us on Facebook, whatever that looks like. Reach out, call us, and we'll share that. We'll take you right into the Word of God and share what the gospel means and what it means in your life. And I pray all this in Jesus' name.